you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking to Alana Irving, who's on the other side of the planet at the moment. We'll talk about that in a moment. Alana is the executive director of the Open Collective Foundation, which is actually a US-based firm, isn't it?
That's right.
So how are you, Alana?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm based here in New Zealand, where it's almost summer and it's tomorrow.
And what it's currently, as we record this, it's 7:30 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. What time is it with you?
It's 1:30 in the afternoon. So just a bit of a different world.
The next day. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is cool. Thank you for taking the time to sit with me for a few minutes today and talk about your work. As I said before, let's start with the big picture. What is Open Collective Foundation? And can you describe the kind of work you do and who you do it for?
Yeah, absolutely. So Open Collective is a software, open source software platform that we use, and it's an international network of about 600 nonprofits and aligned entities around the world who provide basically fiscal sponsorship services to 7,000 groups. And so this year we've moved $30 million through this platform. It basically provides a way for these groups who we call collectives to raise money in transparency, manage all their expenses, and enables the fiscal sponsor to manage all the budgets and provide this technical infrastructure for these projects to do their work in the world.
So the people who require fiscal sponsorship are not yet 501c3s, is that correct?
Yeah, so taking Open Collective Foundation as an example, this is a US 501c3. That's what I'm the executive director, and we fiscally sponsor 300 projects. And so they are less formal, not incorporated, don't necessarily have any legal status. Some of them do, but for the most part, they are borrowing our 501c3 status and operating under our umbrella, and we hold their money in our bank account. So we basically take care of all the IRS compliance, all expenditure responsibility, and making sure that what they're doing is allowed under 501c3, and give them this infrastructure so they can raise money, give out tax deductions and everything without all the bureaucracy of running their own nonprofit and, you know, dealing with audits and all that stuff.
Right. So you're basically running the financial side of things for groups that are doing community work or, you know, social-based work, things like that. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's right. It works on a couple of levels. One is legal. So we are the legal entity structure. Another is financial. So there's a whole lot of tooling and systems for moving money around in and raising money and spending money. And then there's technical, which is basically there's this software platform that enables it all and makes it feasible for us to scale this up.
Got it. Let me ask the first hard question. What's in it for you guys?
Well, that operates on multiple levels as well. I mean, mm-hmm. Open Collective, the company who makes the software, is a very mission-driven social enterprise. And then all the nonprofits that use the platform each have their own mission areas. But I would say ultimately the purpose of the whole thing is the impact mission and how do we enhance and amplify the impact mission of the groups who use our tools. And we have a pricing model. So we call these fiscal hosts, fiscal sponsors. They charge a percentage of the money that's coming in for their services, providing that legal and financial infrastructure. And then the pricing model of Open Collective is to charge a small percentage of that to the fiscal hosts. So it's basically like we try to develop a model where if they succeed, we succeed. And it's sort of like aligning all the incentives.
Can we talk about the technology for a second? You're saying open source software. How is the open source part of this relevant? Can any nonprofit simply grab the software and use it? Let me rephrase the question. Can any nonprofit grab the software and suddenly use it to become a fiscal sponsor? Is that how it works?
That's right. So open source is as in it's a completely open source software project. And that means that people can all see the code and people can contribute to the code if they're developers. That's also really important because our whole thing is based on transparency and it provides that level of trust. you could grab the code, put it on your own server and do literally anything you want with it. But pretty much everyone who's using our system uses our SaaS version where we manage the servers and you just sign up like any other software program that you might use on the internet. But yes, any entity can sign up and plug the Open Collective system into their bank account and their entity and basically pitch up an umbrella that projects can work under. And so if you're an existing fiscal sponsor, you might find this very useful to manage all the budgets. Basically, you don't need to use messy spreadsheets. Your accountant will be super happy. And all of the money moving stuff is semi-automated. And yeah, it gives you the tools for the oversight you need to do and lots of things like that.
Got it. So even if I'm just a nonprofit that's been doing my own mission-oriented activities for a number of years, and there's someone in my community who says, hey, Mickey, would you guys be my fiscal sponsor? I could go find your software, you know, get the SaaS version, the SaaS version, and just start using it for that specific one purpose. If I were to choose to do that, what would I see?
So if you want to become a fiscal sponsor user of Open Collective, you would set it up. You make a page for yourself as a fiscal sponsor. You plug in your bank account, your Stripe account, all these things that you have. You put your address in that gets printed on the receipts that are automatically generated and all that stuff. And then you can switch on applications and groups can show up to your page and go, yes, I would like you to fiscally host my project or fiscally sponsor my project. And different fiscal hosts have different focus areas. We've got, for example, there's one in Europe that focuses on climate change movement groups. There's Open Collective Foundation in the US's US groups with a charitable purpose. We've got an open source software one, and I run a couple in New Zealand. So it's really up to you what the focus is, how much fees you want to charge, if any, what is your mission area and which groups you'd want under your umbrella.
Got it. So total freedom, software will do anything I need it to do. And like you said, it's open source, so it's customizable. What are the other advantages to going open source in this regard? Why would a nonprofit choose that instead of something that's more specifically, like, why would I not just open up another category in my own QuickBooks to do this with?
I mean, you could do that. And there are other software platforms that are set up for fiscal sponsorship to do accounting for you and stuff like that. But Open Collective is kind of something else. It's for people who want a public interface to all of this, where you would show, you know, you can show your budgets transparently, you can do crowdfunding, you can manage grants transparently. And it kind of does this cool thing where it basically writes reporting automatically. So if you put a grant on there and manage it on Open Collective, then all the expenses will go through that system. And at the end of the grant, you have automatically have made all of your financial reporting for that grant. You don't even have to export it. You can just send the link to your funder and it's all there. So right. It just makes stuff like that really easy. And I guess that ties in with open source philosophy of transparency first, openness first. And that's really the basis that Open Collective is designed with. Also collaboration. So Open Collective is essentially designed for collaborative groups, which is why we call them collectives, which is different than your own QuickBooks. It's probably only like your, you know, a couple admins or, you know, people who have a certain signing authority who access to your bank account and your QuickBooks, and that's fine, but it's really closed in a certain way. If you want to be more open, more collaborative, Open Collective could be a good fit.
Right. I want to ask questions about the nature of assembling collectives. What's the benefit to getting like-minded groups together under one umbrella for fiscal sponsorship? Does it matter? Is there a legal requirement that says you have to do that? What's that all about?
No, it's not like a legal requirement, but there are so many advantages. So Open Collective is designed, as I said, for collaborative groups. So a group of people can manage something together. And what that means is if there's a community group or a movement or a meetup where it's like some people are kind of leading it, but then someday they move on, the mission and the money can continue and new people can come along. And it's kind of like builds this capacity in the community to exist beyond the individuals who necessarily started it. We've got lots of features for those kind of sharing. And then putting collectives together under the umbrella of fiscal host has so many advantages. I'm still even discovering them all. Like, for example, we employ people across a bunch of different collectives, but they're all employers of Open Collective Foundation. So we can qualify for like group health insurance plans. They can move money in between the different groups really easily because in the background, it's all in our bank account. So it's just virtually moving money around. So right. For example, a bunch of mutual aid groups in Chicago are banding together to lease a warehouse space together because they do a lot of food distribution stuff. And they were really easily able to put together a fund, take different parts of their budget that we hold and put that together. And then we, as a legal entity, having that infrastructure, and like we've got a lawyer who can look at the lease contract, and we're about to sign this lease for them, which is something that wouldn't be possible for an informally organized community group to do without that infrastructure.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. Okay. And I'm, you know, it's sort of my job to ask questions and feign ignorance in some of these matters. Right. But, sure. but this one's genuine. I have no idea how to approach this one. Is a collective automatic legal entity?
So no, the fiscal host is the legal entity. So Open Collective Foundation is the 501c3. It's the legal entity for all of the groups under its umbrella. So we hope fiscally host 300 groups. And when they need to do anything, we are sort of acting as their legal entity. So if they need to enter a contract or something, we would review that. And we do have a role in that, but it means that they can interact with the world as if they are a legal entity. For example, yeah, signing contracts, issuing invoices and receipts, you know, all these things that you need a legal status in order to do, accessing banking services, we're able to do that with them. So that's why I think a lot of people do sign up with us. It's like, they just look at, you know, they want to do something in their community. They're caring about the impact, the mission that they're there for. They're not signing up so that they can do accounting and worry about banking and worry about compliance and deal with all of this stuff. So we're able to just take care of that for them, and they never have to do it. You know, they never have to submit anything to the IRS. That's a huge thing for them.
That is a huge thing for them. That what led me to that question was the notion of, you know, this conversation, this collaborative conversation towards mission-oriented goals. So if I happen to be part of a collective and all the members in the collective are doing work in river conservation acts, and it's happening around the world. I love the idea, first of all, that I could just essentially be part of a community where people are sharing ideas and are very transparent about the work that they do and how much it costs to do that. It takes us, I think, one step closer to collaborative mission accomplishment, I guess, if I can coin a phrase. But, you know, if I do that, and if I start to then acquire tools or funds to buy something that entire collective needs, who's writing that check? You know, it's not my nonprofit. That's what led me to that question.
Yeah. And we do see a lot of things like that where people are trying to put together coalitions, or it's something that kind of exists in between multiple foundations or something like that. It's really great. You can kind of do something with us, and we're a bit of a neutral space that everybody can see and everybody can participate in, but it's not under any one of their entities. I think that can be really useful. We've seen some really cool coalition funding come together through Open Collective in that way. And we're also seeing much more kind of knitting together of our community as we grow and as we get a lot more vibrant, I would say. So we're having, like, for Open Collective Foundation, we're having monthly community forums where we have calls and everybody comes together and they're all helping each other. And last time it was a lot about legal questions, and so they were sharing what they've learned about legal questions for the work that they were doing. And then we thought, oh, we can reach out to an aligned, you know, law firm, and now we're going to have a legal clinic because we're listening to what our community needs. And it's actually through them sharing with each other and helping each other and us learning from them that we're able to be more effective as a community.
Brilliant, just brilliant. What's one thing? I mean, I have two questions. I'm about to make them collide, and that's not good. Is use of the tool for every nonprofit? Does every nonprofit need to be affiliated somehow?
Well, I think it can be useful for many, many, many kinds of nonprofits. Like if you are one nonprofit and you're not interested in this whole fiscal sponsorship thing, you can use Open Collective, plug it into your bank account in a much simpler way, and basically just turn on all the crowdfunding and transparency features. And so if you want to do your fundraising that way, so that you can show back to your community, okay, what happens to your money after you give it to us? That can create a really cool, like, next level of engagement, I would say. And also means that you don't have to, if you want to do crowdfunding, you don't have to pay fees to a crowdfunding platform if you plug it in directly, because we won't charge you any fees if you're using your own bank account. That's one thing. And I think everybody who's doing fiscal sponsorship, like, I came into Open Collective because I was doing a really messy DIY version of fiscal sponsorship on spreadsheets and, like, trying to enable projects to work under legal entities. Like, that is hard. You come onto Open Collective, you're doing that, and you come out to Open Collective, it will just feel so much more supported, so much more polished, so much cleaner, and you won't be tearing your hair out.
Yeah. You see what happened to mine, right? So, okay. So it could be for every nonprofit, right? I mean, you could use it even if you're not going to sponsor another fiscally. You could use it even if you're not going to become a fiscal sponsor to another 501c3. And I like the notion that it enables you or it empowers you to be able to do your own crowdfunding for free as long as you have your own bank account. That's something I did not know. So thank you for telling me that. What's next for you guys? What comes next? If I mean, clearly you're seeing some success. You're helping 300 organizations do some remarkable things all around the planet. What are OC's plans? What happens next?
Actually 7,000 organizations around the planet. 300 around the planet. Just the US 501c3 entity. Yeah. So we're growing really fast. Like yeah. That and the US 501c3 entity grew by a factor of 20 in 2020 and then again by multiple factors in 2021. And we're on track to do that again in 2022. So it's growing like crazy.
That is crazy. Track. My goodness.
But we're small compared to some of the other fiscal hosts. Like we have one that hosts 3,000 open source software projects, and it's growing like crazy. So that's, I guess, next for us is continuing growth, partnership, major partnerships, kind of the next level of maturity. One thing that's next and really exciting for Open Collective as a platform is we're looking to do an exit to community. And that's basically a startup. If you have a startup that takes investment to build a tech platform, as Open Collective did, at some point, the investors need to get their exit. And that means you either sell the company or you go public. And that's how investment usually works. But in our case, we do not agree with any sort of user exploitation or sort of maximizing growth for growth's sake. And we've been able to retain a lot of the control of the company. So we're able to do a really values aligned version of that we're calling an exit to community, which is basically like, we want to figure out how to sell ourselves to our whole community of users and have the wider community govern the platform. So we're not quite there yet, but because we're a super transparent company, we're obviously going to be going on this learning journey in public. So we started a blog series about it, and we're going to do a bunch of videos. And basically over the next, I'd say it's going to be a while, like 2 or 3 years probably before we get there, but we want to transition into like a truly co-governed platform.
It's not often that you get to hear the words exit to community and know exactly what that means, right? It's a term that I think should be used more frequently amongst nonprofits in general. But that's a conversation for another day. what have you seen the exercise go badly for nonprofits? One of the questions I like to ask for sometimes is what are the mistakes you see and how do nonprofits avoid them?
Oh man, well, I could talk more about mistakes that we've made than I don't know what kind of mistakes other people make.
We can edit that out if you want. We don't have to.
Let me think for a second. I think some people are afraid of transparency, or it's like off-putting to them. And they're worried that people will be critical, or they don't want people to really see how the sausage is made or something like that. But in my experience, if you kind of push through that hesitancy, transparency can open up so many incredible doors. It's like the level of trust that's possible, the level of engagement that's possible. And also I'm just a very practical and pretty impatient person. So things like, you know, all the reporting writing itself, because we just share everything, and like not having to spend time doing that actually I think is meaningful, you know, solving really kind of operational, seemingly trivial things that actually add up to being time consuming.
Right.
And I mean, we're dealing with some challenges right now that I don't know exactly how we're going to solve. One thing we're looking at is an ethical policy. Like, you know, do we allow or not allow certain things in the Open Collective platform? We're very values oriented. But, you know, we had somebody sign up to try to raise money for like a vaccine disinformation group. And we were like, oh no. Okay. Yeah. Wow. We really need to get clear on where we draw lines. I think that's next up for us. And it's a very normal problem that you face when scaling. It's suddenly you're getting more attention and more stuff coming on.
Yep. Good stuff. Alana, if somebody wanted to learn more about Open Collective or wanted to get in touch with you for more questions, how would you suggest they learn more? How would you suggest they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be happy to be in touch with people. OpenCollective.com is the website for the platform, for the global platform. If you're interested in using the software in your organization or donating to other people, you can go there, check that out. It has lots of, you know, what is this kind of information on there. OpenCollective.foundation is specifically a 501c3 fiscal sponsor, and it has information about how all that works. So if you know of any groups, or for example, if people are coming to you saying, I want to do something related to your mission, can I work under your umbrella, but that's a bit of a distraction for you, or you don't have capacity for that, you can refer them to us and we could take them on, put them on our umbrella. And then it creates, I'd say, remove some of those roadblocks. So yeah, if you're interested in 501c3 fiscal sponsorship, opencollective.foundation is where to go. And if you press the contact button in any of those places, you can reach me.
That's fantastic. Alana, thank you for educating me, and thank you for being my guest today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.